Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Welcome to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast, where you'll get tips, tools, and training for new and aspiring copywriters, plus a few things even the established pros will want to know. My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 15 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. The Filthy Rich Writer team and I are here to teach you everything we've learned in our years in the industry so that you can craft a successful copywriting career of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Welcome back to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Today, you are going to get a sneak peek on some of our laser coaching sessions, mini coaching sessions we did with some of our CCA students. Now, some of the students may reference Pitchapalooza, which is our annual event where we get students writing and sending their first pitches. So if they do mention that, that's what it's all about. But we're about to dig in and you will hear from a variety of different students with a variety of different questions, copywriting, business, all kinds of stuff. And even though it's not you in the hot seat, you will still learn a ton. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's start out our conversation with Clea Nikki.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Cleo. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's good. Good. Thank you.
How did your project go since the last time I was like, oh, yeah, we had that was good.
Yeah,
good.
My client loved it. She was super, super happy. And oh, now I'm awesome. Doing the emails that go with it.
I never get to like follow up sometimes. And so I'm always like, I wonder how that went. So I'm happy to hear.
That's awesome. I'm going to start a timer just to be consistent because we've done it with everybody. Start. Keep us focused too. Yeah. What can we help you with? Yeah. What's going on?
Okay. So, I've had a couple of clients so far, but I'm having trouble getting like stuff coming in as much as I'd like it to. So I wanted to go over some pitches today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not sure if I can like show them to you or
yes,
read them.
I can make you co-host and then you can share your screen.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Share screen and, oh shoot, which Word document is it? I think it's this one.
It's always the question. Okay.
You're on the right spot. Here, I'll move it over where I can see it better.
Perfect. And we'll read it out loud just so.
Oh yeah. For the podcast.
Used on the podcast so people can benefit from. Yeah.
So subject line is overloaded science fluent copywriter offering a helping hand or excuse me, offering a hand. I don't know why I added that in there. Hi Allison. Science is its own world, isn't it? The scientists who buy your products have their own unique language and culture. As a copywriter, I excel at empathizing with diverse groups of people, forging connections and sparking real emotion. And with a master's in biology, I easily understand scientific jargon and can communicate seamlessly with researchers, teachers, and scientists at any level. So I have to say that right off the bat, this feels like a pitch. And you don't want it to feel like a pitch, right? Okay. We want it to feel very much like it's like, hey, just dropping you a note to be like, I love what you do. I had an idea for you and it's something I can help you out with. Love to jump on a call with you. Because remember that this language is appropriate language for your portfolio site. Because people who are coming to your portfolio site are already thinking, yeah, I need a copywriter.
Let me see if she's the copywriter for me. So when you're talking about what sets you apart, your USP, that kind of thing, that is perfect for your portfolio site, because that point in the client journey, they're evaluating you versus not you. Right. But in the pitch, they're not even thinking about you. Are basically, you're coming into their inbox and they're not even thinking about copywriting. And they right. nobody wants to be pitched. But I know we'll say clients want you to pitch them, and they do, but they want to be pitched in a way that feels like, hey, that feels very easy and very light. Like, hey, I have an idea for you. And mm-hmm. if you like that, then I'd love to talk about it with you.
I have a question for you, and I know we're going to get to the next part of, you mentioned product descriptions, but, did you find them? Did you go on their site? Was there something, what about them made you want to pitch them? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a natural connection between your background and what they do, but there might be a way to spin that then to say, you know, as someone with a master's in biology, I really appreciate blah, 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 that you're doing, to have that opening be a little more enthusiastic and related to whatever it was that really got you initially kind of hooked by them. Mm-hmm. And you may have to look for that a little potentially, but maybe not. Maybe there was something, you know, that got you excited about them in the first place.
I wonder if I could show you a different pitch with a different opening and see if
sure.
you
yeah, yeah. absolutely.
So like this one. Do you see a different one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Yes.
Let's see. So subject line, a quick and easy opportunity to promote your products. I will say, before we get into the letter, the pitch itself, a quick and easy opportunity to promote your products. I understand its benefit focus, which is great, but a quick and easy opportunity sounds spammy to me. Right? It sounds very sales focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quick and easy. And I mean, quick and easy is good. But yeah, I think the combination of quick and easy opportunity, it sounds like you're trying to sell them. Right. And again, we want to stay away from anything that seems even remotely salesy.
Okay.
Think
about it. If you're writing to a friend, like, hey, I got a quick idea for you. That might not be your subject line, obviously, but something along those lines, that's a little more conversational, something mm-hmm. you would actually say. So, you know, reading it out loud, if you feel a little bit like,
yeah,
you say that.
An idea from someone who loves your brand.
Yep.
So, you know, something like that, or idea from someone who loves your whatever. Not necessarily just that. There's certainly 10,000 different iterations of a subject line. But you really want to evaluate it with an eye to, is this going to sound salesy? Because salesy means that we're asking for something from somebody, right? Like, I'm trying to sell you. I'm trying to get something from you. And that's the exact opposite of how we want to show up in their inboxes. We want to show up as if we're giving. Value focused first. Okay, so hi Luna team, I love your nursing and maternity collection. As a nursing mom myself, I know how essential good clothes are to this busy time of life, and I admire your mission to bring together the best options out there. I love that opening. Mm-hmm. Like Kate was saying, it's genuine and it's enthusiastic, and you are saying that you use their products and so you know them. I think it's a great mm-hmm. opening, good work. I signed up to your newsletter to stay in touch with you, and I noticed that the page after I subscribed just said, your subscription to our list has been confirmed. Thank you for subscribing. As a copywriter, I know what a great opportunity this page is. You have a potential customer who's interested enough in the company to sign up for the newsletter, and you know she's going to be looking at this page. Have you considered adding some more copy there to encourage the potential customer to go back to your site? A small change can make a big difference in the number of your potential customers who return to the site and buy. If you're interested in this idea, I'd love to discuss my suggestions with you in more detail. Would you be free for a quick chat later this week? I think this is much more value focused, much more focused mm-hmm. on them, right? On, hey, here's what I can do for you. I might even go in there and, have you considered adding some more copy there? I might even try a version where you even get a little bit, specific, a little bit more specific about the benefit, and a little bit more specific about, I'd want a little bit more punch in exactly exactly how it's going to benefit. Like,
yeah, the more copies, I like that you're not giving away. You don't want to tell them what you would do exactly.
Exactly.
But more kind of a little bit more of a pointed idea of the type of direction that they could go, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I do have to say though, I love the "have you considered," because I think it's a nice nod to the fact that, hey, maybe they already did consider it and you're acknowledging that, you know, they're not dumb. You know, I feel like it's much more of a partnership feel. So I love that word choice. Mm-hmm. I wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even "have you considered" something like, you know, "this would be a great place to do this." And that would, yeah, I would just go even a little bit, because remember that the idea is half of it. And the benefit is the other half. Cause you know, a great idea is important, but it might not be enough for them to be like, "yeah, it's a good idea. We should do it at some point." But then say, "okay, this is a great idea. We both know it's a great idea, but here's why it's going to benefit you and why you should be doing this right away. This is a low hanging fruit. This is an easy opportunity." And yeah, if you'd interested in this idea, I'd love to discuss my suggestions with you in more detail. I almost don't want you to say suggestions, because, and I understand that that's kind of a softer word, but at the same time, you're offering them a gift, but you are an expert. You are a copywriter. So I would like it. I would like it. What I might think about is maybe just like, "I'd love to discuss this with you and a few other ideas," or something like that. Because suggestions feels a little bit like, well, you know, I saw this and, you know, but you saw this, but also you are a copywriter with a lot of skill. So it's not just a suggestion. It is a recommendation. I wouldn't necessarily use recommendation, of course, but I think owning just a little bit more the fact that it is a good idea, like it is a legitimately excellent idea that could have a big impact on their business, a small change with a big impact on their business. I think just owning that a little bit more. Does that make sense? I want to make sure I'm not giving you two different pathways to go down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And do we have
the only other small thing I might do too? Would you be free for a quick chat? I might give them a little bit of time because, you know, things depending when you send it. So for example, I know later this week, maybe it takes them a week to actually dig out their email and process it and look at it. So potentially even looking, say, "hey, are you free next Tuesday at 9 a.m. or 12 p.m. or, you know, lunchtime or whatever it is," give them an actual time and then go from there. Let them, you know, take a little bit of work out of the process. And if they aren't available then they can suggest another time, but at least you're doing that initial step. So it's not as broad. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I know you're going to say something and I cut you off.
No, that's great. Thank you. Yeah. That's awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, I think I understand the direction that you went in for the first one. But take off that marketing hat and just put on the enthusiastic consumer who happens to also be a really skilled copywriter. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great.
Good. I'm so glad that was helpful. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I hope this
send them and keep us posted.
Yeah.
I want to know. Post in the group if you end up sending them and see what happens. Yeah.
Yes, please do. Hey.
I get invested. I'm like, I'll be like, wonder what happened to her pitch.
Awesome. Thanks, Cleo.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
And next, let's hear from Angela.
Hello.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm going to.
Windows,
oh yes, close out your windows, Kate. Focus.
Yeah, I know. So ding and dong and interrupt.
I'm going to start a timer just to be fair, because we've done it with everybody. But Angela, how are you? What can we help you with?
Okay, I was wondering if you would be able to look at some copy I'm working.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me make you a co-host so you can share your screen.
Okay. Or pop it in the chat if you prefer.
Mm-hmm. Whatever's easiest for you.
Actually, yeah, maybe if I pop it in the chat. So what it is I'll just share a link with you.
Okay.
So I'm working on product descriptions for an illustrator.
Okay.
and he makes cards and gifts.
Cool.
That are related to Star Wars, but with a Scottish twist. So the range is called Stars Are Braw, which Braw is means good in sort of Scottish slang dialect.
Gotcha.
He wants to appeal to a wider audience.
Okay.
So he's trying to get out of just appealing to a Scottish audience. So he's rewritten quite a lot of his cards.
Uh-huh.
And so that they should appeal to people who don't quite get some of the Scottish jokes.
Makes sense.
So I'm writing product descriptions for them. So I only just started writing them yesterday, so they're a bit rough. I'll share a link.
What
to
a fun project.
I love these, yeah.
Yes.
I love when people share things, though, and then I'm like, shoot, now I have to not buy everything people right. show me.
But
I have a feeling I might get some of these.
We were wondering how many of the jokes come across well in English or without the Scottish jokes. And there's one of them particularly that I've started writing the description of. And it refers to Empire Biscuits. And I just don't know if Empire Biscuits are something that are known outside of Scotland.
A good question. I don't know that I know what they are. But.
So is it when we say English, do you mean England as in English as in England or English as in any English speaking country?
Both probably. I mean, he's particularly wanting to appeal to shops in England.
Okay. 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 Super.
Distributes a lot of his cards through shops in Scotland. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it's if it works to English speaking people like yourselves as well.
Well, so that was why I was asking, because the difference between UK English and Scottish English and American English, especially when it comes to slang and when it comes to not brand terms, but like terms for items can be very, very different. So for him, he is for things like Empire Biscuit. I'm not familiar with that. Kate, I'd wager that you're probably not either, but it could be something that people in England are familiar with. Just people in the US aren't familiar with. If I were you, I would go into the Facebook group because you have a lot of people from the US, a lot of people from Canada, a lot of people from UK, I would be intrigued to see
if people from the US or Canada who have visited Scotland who might know the slang just by virtue of having spent time there. I know, one of our coaches actually used to date a Scotman. So maybe she knows. That might help give context, though, as to, are people going to be familiar with this? But I think there are a lot of other ones that seem a bit more universal. So it might be, I feel like that's more, though, on his end with the strategy of, okay, do we aim to sell these types of cards in Scottish shops versus maybe these other ones are ones that we want to promote outside to a larger audience that anyone will get.
Yeah, but I mean, you could set up, if you're looking to help him out with this on the you can sell this to people from the US, you can sell this to people from the UK. I would put set up a poll in the Facebook group and say, okay, if you are from the US, have you heard of this? If you're from the UK, have you heard of this?
And okay. I'm just thinking because he's keen on somehow trying to explain the joke to somebody who might not get it.
And nobody's going to buy it if they don't get it.
I'm having a crack at that. I've just copied and pasted the copy.
Okay. Yeah. So headline product name, the Empire Biscuit card. Subhead is buy any three cards or prints, get your fourth free. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Description. At last, your quest for the perfect card for a biscuit loving Star Wars fan is over, but be careful. You may have been lured into the Empire's tasty trap.
That's
we can't.
The Empire, the biscuit.
Gotcha. We can't use overdrive to get to another planet, so let's look after this one. This Imperial card is made from recycled paper and hyperdrive. I'm sorry, did I say overdrive? I meant hyperdrive. I read it and didn't speak it. We can't use hyperdrive to get to another planet, so let's look after this one. This Imperial card is made from recycled paper and wrapped in fully biodegradable film. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that connecting the feature with the element of the part of the film. I love that. Illustrated card featuring alarmed Admiral Akbar and an Empire State Biscuit. What am I doing
You're
today?
Making it American.
I'm just
now.
Adding stuff. Yeah. And an Empire Biscuit. Yeah, it's American the star American. There anyway. An Empire Biscuit topped with a mini Death Star. A6 card sold with plain recycled envelope blank inside. Handwritten messages available. Cards can be shipped direct to recipient if required, printed in the UK. Fast shipping, save on cards, add 3 at checkout, add free card. Yeah.
And, you know, I think you did a nice job here, though, because I think the biscuit-loving Star Wars fan, and so if they get the wink of lured into the Empire's tasty trap, great. But plenty of people love biscuits, too, so it might be still, you know, you're still connecting with them without alienating them. And so it's, I think, for your Scottish audience, it's like, oh, see what she did there. But it's not necessarily lost for everyone else, which is nice.
Agree. I think you did a nice job of not like hitting them over the head with like, hey, here's why this is a joke. I do think that your client is going to be fighting an uphill battle if Empire Biscuits are not a thing in the area that he's trying to sell to. They're just not, like, nobody in the States is going to buy, first of all, because biscuit is a totally different term in the States. And Empire Biscuit isn't a thing, you know. But clients are clients, and at the end of the day, clients pay the bills. So you can make your recommendation and you can come in and say, hey, you know, I've done a survey with people that I know from all over US speaking countries, English speaking countries, and these are ones that I think will work well for US. These are ones I think will work well for England, and, you know, that kind of thing. That might be a nice way to provide a little extra value without having to do too much work yourself. But at the end of the day, clients are clients. And if he's like, no, we're going to sell the English biscuit cards to people from the US, you can be like, sure, let's do our best.
This was one of the most challenging ones. So I thought I'll start with the one that's going to be hardest because some of the others do translate better, although to me they kind of lose a bit of the kind of charm that they had. They used Scottish dialect and saying things like "I love ye," and a very sort of Scottish accent, you know, with the Han and Leia jokes. But it still works.
Yeah, and well, that's part of the thing. Unfortunately, is that if fundamentally, first and foremost, the cards are based on jokes in with a Scottish sensibility or Scottish accent then or Scottish terms, they're just not going to translate. You know, he may be able to find an audience of expat Scots or Scots or people with affinity for Scotland and Scottish culture. That might be something for him to start looking for.
And it could be an opportunity. This is would fall more in the realm of content versus copy, but having an opportunity to do some sort of fun, like get to know your Scottish slang. And so if he has an email list or audience, you know, putting out some Scottish terms to like educate people about some of these things, or, you know, on the product pages themselves. I don't know how he's built these and if there's space, but if you had a section of like breaking down the Scottish humor, you know, something that kind of is like a sidebar to it, that could be a middle ground if he's pushing for more of the explanation. But if it's an education aspect, then it's going to need to, you know.
Well, and that could be a fun opt-in. You could put, you could say, you know, I'll put together an ebook for you, and then people will get that ebook for free when they sign up for your email. And then once they've signed up for your email, then we can start sending them featured, you know, cards or featured this or featured that. Yeah.
And then you can recycle everything you put together for the Scottish slang ebook, and you can repurpose the pieces where you need to.
Yeah.
So the whole Empire Biscuit thing, if that's a, you know, wink and a nod of like, not necessarily slang, but, you know, a culture aspect reference, and then you can repurpose that chunk from the ebook onto the relevant page or Mm-hmm. There's so much fun opportunity, though.
No, super fun client.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Really, yeah. Really excited. And that came out of, the making a list of people to pitch.
Yeah.
The affinities, because I wandered into a shop and saw the mugs and bought the mugs and was like, love this. I'll pitch him.
That's awesome. I love that.
The pitch, he replied within an hour.
Within an hour. That's awesome.
I feel like that's going to be some sort of record. For
yes, I definitely think that you hold the record for the fastest reply from a pitch. Wow. That's awesome. Oh, that's fantastic. And what a fun
frame
project.
That pitch, I feel like, and be like, okay, this one clearly.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. So I hope, did we help a little bit or help clarify a little bit? Yeah. And I think too, you have some opportunities to do to additional work with him and help, help him market a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the kind of client that you want to work with, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking, I'm like, wow, I'm super jealous. This is so fun.
That's a great one. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for giving us the chance to talk about this awesome project. Yeah. And congratulations on that 1 hour turnaround. That is awesome. Good for you.
Group, shouldn't I?
Yes. Post in the group.
And then please keep us updated on what happens with all of this, because what a cool... Yeah. Share your work. Just be like, look how awesome this is, guys. Look what I did. Yeah. Yes. Brag a little bit. You deserve it. This is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. Let us celebrate you in the group as well. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you,
Angela. We'll talk to you later.
Spend all my money now.
All right. Bye-bye.
And moving right along, we pack a lot into laser coaching. Let's hear about Jennifer and her questions.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Good, how are you?
Good.
Yay. Okay. Woohoo, laser coaching. Woohoo.
Well, it's great because I feel like I needed like a hype up session.
Oh, perfect.
But I didn't think you'd just want to do that for 10 minutes.
I don't know. I'm kind of
we're
excited,
here for right? you. So
yeah, like
if that's what you want.
Yeah.
You're here to deliver it.
I'm gonna start the timer because to be fair, that's what we've done for everybody else.
Okay.
Keeps us focused.
This is also our last session. So if we need to hype you up for an extra couple of minutes, we will do it.
We will.
So I'm hitting like some resistance with doing my own about me page. And I'm like, if you like track your website, you probably have seen that I've looked at both of yours like 100 times.
Don't use it as a guide necessarily.
Yeah, not the best ones, I will say.
Full disclosure, I didn't have an about page till I think last year. I think I had an about section on my homepage and didn't have an about page. Because I hear you. I hear you on how hard it is to write that page.
What I would do, frankly, and this is Kate and I are constantly like, we really need to update our pages. We need to update our websites. But we're at the point in our careers where we don't need our websites very much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for student purposes, yes. However, what I would do, looking at website examples, go to the coaching call recordings, like the one we did today. The recording is up there now. There are a couple of good ones to refer to, and even sometimes even just hearing the feedback that we give other students about their about pages can like spark something. You know,
inspire you, yeah,
yeah.
Or even to look at ones of non copywriters that you feel like are, ooh, this is a good about page. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need a mission statement? No, probably not. But you might be like, ooh, maybe I'll section it where this, I want to get some fun facts to get some personality in it, but maybe I'll have that as a separate section and, you know, lead with obviously benefits to your clients and things like that. But you might find different interesting ways to kind of section it out and break the content up that you want on there.
So how is the resistance coming up? Is it like, is your brain saying things to you, or are you just like, I don't want to do this?
It's like, so I'll have like my Google Doc open and then I write a couple words and I'm like, nope. And I delete them.
Ooh.
I know, but it's literally like the and how.
Oh, okay, okay.
Nothing super, super amazing.
I would start with outlining it. So again, if don't feel like you have to go straight into trying to get words on the page, think of, okay, am I going to have my USP here? Or is it somewhere else on my site? Am I going to elaborate on this USP? What do I want the client to know in this main section? And even if it's just starting off, like, I want to have a headline here. I'm putting
headline. Mm-hmm. And then I know I'm going to have a section about this topic and putting mm-hmm. what that topic is going to be. And then mm-hmm. hey, I do want my fun fact section. That's down here. So literally starting with that. So then you have not a blank page, but you at least have, okay, I have a header. It's going to go there eventually. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then just start brainstorming ideas and kind of in the midst of the doc. I like to do side-by-side docs where I kind of have my clean, okay, header, body, like it's eventually going to be pretty and beautiful. And then my, here's my mess doc of, mm-hmm. I'm just going to start spitting out ideas. What do I want to say? Here's a thought. And they might start to connect. They might not connect. But then you can start to shift things around within that document to say, okay, this is actually feeling like this could be a good headline. Then you move it over into that clean doc and say, okay, let's keep it there for now and we'll see. But working in that pattern so that you just don't feel like you have to get it all out at once and that it has to be magical all mm-hmm. at once. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to see those ideas though of like, oh yeah, like I know I want to say something like this. This isn't quite it, but let me try to like do some versions. If you see some of my rough drafts, it's like iteration for like 20 lines on the same idea. And I keep that because I'm like, ooh, I liked this word that I used down in this one. Let me try that in this one and mm-hmm. give yourself that space.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you've heard us say that the ironic thing about the about me page is not really about you. It's yeah, like about it's what you can like do for the client.
Struggling.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think sometimes if you almost kind of take yourself out of the equation or imagine that you are writing for your client who mm-hmm. is Jennifer, and you know this about her, you know what her USP is, you know that she's this fantastic copywriter. How would you position her? What would you say about her? What is her benefit? You know, obviously write it in the first person, but you can always go back and change it too. You can write it in second person and go back and go back and change it to first person. But you know, I think it can really hard to sit down and like, I'm going to write copy. But to Kate's point, when you have an idea of the messages you want to get across, like, okay, it's about me page. So I want to get across what makes me unique as a copywriter. So this is your USP. I want to get across how I can benefit them as a copywriter, why they should hire me. So you get some benefits and, you know, I want to get maybe a little bit of my personality across. I'm going to tell them, you know, that it's really, you want to hit those three key points and how you do that, you know, you'll play with that a little bit and go through various iterations. But those are really the things that you want to get, that someone who's getting to that page and who's considering hiring you, because that's what we need to keep in mind, right? Like the target audience and what the target audience needs to read to take that next step that we want them to take, which is to get in touch to hire you. Mm-hmm. So when someone, a potential client, putting on that target audience hat, when a potential client comes to your About Me page, why have they come to the About You page? What do they want to know that they don't know yet from other pages on your website? And what information on that page is going to make them go, oh yeah, okay, I like her. I'm going to get in touch with her. I want to talk more with her. So do not get me wrong. Writing about ourselves is the hardest thing you will do. Absolutely the hardest thing. So if you are, I don't want to say the word struggling, but if you're like,
that's the sound that comes out of my mouth.
That's my copy sound.
Yeah.
If you're feeling that, first of all, know that that's completely normal. It is writing for ourselves is the hardest thing that we will do. Mm-hmm. But it's still no different than any other copy project. You still have an objective that you're trying to, and you know, it may help too to even take a couple of steps back and write yourself out a creative brief for just this page. You know, if you're kind of like, I don't even know how to attack this, take it a couple of steps back and go, okay, what is my benefit to my target audience? Who is my target audience? What action do I want them to take? Mm-hmm. You know, what information will support this benefit? That kind of thing. And kind of thinking it through a little bit more objectively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think like Kate said, I'm going to start with an outline and then maybe even a creative brief, like you said. And I think
creative brief first, then outline. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it will help.
Yeah, I think so. But I think part of it is because I feel like with my USP, so I've been doing like marketing and proposal writing for the whole time. So I feel like it's like kind of implied that I can be a copy, like, so I'm still struggle with the USP a little bit as well. So I think that is probably starting.
You could take something that's struggle. Not even related to your professional experience is what I would explore. Mm-hmm. You know, is there, I know people have done it of like raising kids and like how challenging that is. I don't know if you have kids, but, or a trip you took that was changing you in some way, or the fact that you are a knitter or that you love coffee. I don't know. You know, there's different, yeah. Loving coffee is probably mm-hmm. not the angle I would
yeah,
take,
volunteered in an orphanage in Tanzania right. or whatever. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily remember that it's different from a resume. On a resume, it's very much like, I have this experience and I did this. You are looking to, and it can be very tempting to, you want to be like, look, I've got all this marketing experience. Like, I know, but that might not be the thing that makes you unique as a copywriter. You know, it may be, you want to definitely explore it, but it may not be the traits that you have developed or one of the traits that you've developed that makes you look at projects from a different angle may mm-hmm. not have come from your marketing background. You know, it may have come from something else that you've done. Mm-hmm. If you want to work in the fact that you have XYZ amount of marketing experience or first of all, make sure that it's relevant, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is marketing doesn't necessarily mean that a client's going to be like, oh yes, you know, but you can find other places that you too can work that in if you feel like it really mm-hmm. makes a difference. But in your USP, it doesn't necessarily have to be your marketing experience that makes you, that sets you apart,
yeah, that's true.
You know, because it may be, but go mm-hmm. through the full exercise. Don't immediately assume that because you have marketing experience, that's what mm-hmm. will set you apart and will be the piece for your USP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you feel like you really want to get that in, because I know some people just like, I want them to know. That could be part of your kind of fun fact area where you spin mm-hmm. that as a way of like,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
a great point.
I spent mm-hmm. 10 years doing this or whatever it is and, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I don't know how you I want spent to position 10, it, 10 years doing this and here's why I focused on copywriting, you know, mm-hmm. and that's, and you can, yeah, I completely agree with that. That's a great point, Kate.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Right. Getting it in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is when my brain starts to turn on actually.
Get right back into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's like kind of helpful because you guys have like these, like you're just saying words, but like, they're making me think so.
Good.
Yeah. Well, and you know what, that's the thing too, is that sometimes just having a little bit of a fresh perspective or mm-hmm. coming also too, here's the thing. You want it to be your best foot forward, right? Like you want it mm-hmm. to be the best work that you can. Yeah. But there have been plenty of times that I've put stuff up on my website. I've landed plenty of clients and then I've come back a year later, read it yeah. and gone, oh, I need to change that. You know, yeah. like do the best that you can, mm-hmm. put your best foot forward, but at the same time, don't let working on your about me page mm-hmm. keep you from making progress in other ways. Yeah. Do your yeah. best, but it's not carved in stone. Mm-hmm. And you can come back and change it later. You can come back and change it tomorrow. You can write it and then go back and change it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend spending your time on that, but it's, you're not married to it. You're not, mm-hmm. it's not carved in stone. Put your best foot forward and move on to the next thing.
And I think what you said is important. You know, you're like, you're just talking helps. Ask friends or family, even though they have no idea what they're doing when it comes to copy, just asking them certain questions. I do this with my mm-hmm. husband all the time where it's like, hey, I was like, you know, I'm thinking of this phrase. What does that make you think of? Or does that make sense to you? And he'll just say things and they might be completely unrelated, but just hearing something come back helps my brain go in another direction. Because at some point, yeah. I think often with resistance and roadblocks, we've been spending time just by ourselves in our own little bubble. And we just need something to get us like shaking up and thinking yeah. different thoughts. So mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. when you hit those walls, just, or even go yeah. to the Facebook group and be like, I need, you know, it could be the most random question. They don't yeah. need necessarily need context, you know, get exactly. you thinking something. differently.
And don't be afraid to step away from it either. Work on it, get up, walk away, do something different. Don't watch TV because your brain doesn't work the same way, but like go for a walk, do the dishes or make dinner or something.
Have a glass
of wine. Your brain have a glass of wine. Have a bottle of wine. Have a case of wine. And let your brain kind of work on it in the background. Cause it sounds so silly, but, and I really should have marked this study cause I thought, proof. But your brain really does do that work in the background, figure stuff out while you're doing something else. So give your brain a chance to do that.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Also, now for the hype portion. You can do this. You're a champion. You can do this. We believe in you.
You ever use Spotify? Put on that pitching playlist. It's, even if you're not pitching, get hyped up.
Yeah.
Get some energy.
I do. I should listen to that again.
But seriously,
I don't do a good job.
In all seriousness, though, you can do this. You can figure this out. This is not... yes, resistance pops up and it will pop up. Thank you, resistance. But like we say, that's a good sign because it means you're heading in the right direction. Resistance wouldn't pop up if it's like, today I want to sit on the sofa. Resistance is not going to pop up. Resistance is going to be like, excellent. Here's a bowl of popcorn. But it's going to pop up when you're heading in the right direction. So it's as much as it's like, yeah, it's a good thing. It means you're heading in the right direction, and it means you are doing important things that are taking you out of your comfort zone and are going to take you in the right direction and take you toward your goal. So you are so headed in the right direction, even though resistance totally blows. Really, really sucks. Yeah. Really sucks. However, you can absolutely overcome it. You can do this.
Thank you. Thanks for your help, both of you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. If you liked what you heard, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a minute or two to leave us a 5-star review. I read each one and they mean the world to me and our team. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to keep learning, follow us at Filthy Rich Writer across social media and on the site. And of course, if your interest is piqued and you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at www.freecopywritingtraining.com. Talk to you next time.